some connect groups, and that was really fun. We went to connect group parties, so it was really good. The problem, though, you see, with these parties is that you're eating a lot even before Christmas. So there was great food there. And so I just want to thank, you know, the teams, all our connect group leaders, everybody in our church that goes to connect. But also that means that you're doing lives together. And that's really good to sort of to see. So it was fun being there. Really good food. So if you want to invite me to your connect group, make sure you cook pork. You know, or you have connoisseur ice cream. You know, those are my prerequisites for attendance. If you don't have connoisseur ice cream, I ain't coming. Look, just a heads up on what's coming up in 2023. Next week, Sunday, is going to be the last Sunday of 2022. Last Sunday. So God has been very gracious to us that we've done. Today is the 51st Sunday. He's been gracious to us. Imagine when we started in January. Now we're coming up towards the end of December, and who can say God has been faithful to them in 2022? Put your hand up if God has been faithful to you. And one of the things I'd like to just encourage us is let's continue to walk in the will and purpose of God for our lives. There was I think when Pastor Charlie spoke probably 3-4 weeks ago, he said something. He says, don't get off the train in the tunnel. Now is not the time to be getting off the train of God. We need to be clinging on more and more to the Lord Jesus in our lives. Because a lot of things can come up against us, but we need to hold on to the Lord. Amen? So what's coming up 2023, we're going to start off the year, of course, on the 1st of January. We have next week we're here for our Christmas service. And so if you're in town, it'll just be a very wonderful service, 45 minutes, and then you can go and enjoy Christmas Day with your family. That's here at 9 a.m. here in Fremantle, and then 11 in Kwinana. So 45 minutes, and then we're going to be getting security to usher everybody out. So that's next week. So I'd encourage you, if you're in town, to come for that. If you're traveling, God bless you. Have a wonderful time of fellowship and relationship building and reconnecting with your families. And it's good that you can do that. So if you're going away, we love you. And we just want God to bless you and give you travel mercies. So come 2023, this year we started off with a Seek God Fast. We're going to do that again in 2023. So that's probably going to be in the second week of the year when everybody seems to be getting back to normal life after they've sort of like, you know, you've eaten a lot of food. Just when you're starting to do the New Year's resolutions. And I think it's always a time to resolve that this is the year that I'm going to do business with God. If you want 2023 to be your best year, let it be your best year in God. Amen? And then from the 1st of January for 31 days, I will be leading, and this is just extracurricular activities for those super Christians, I'll be doing a wisdom challenge. So 31 days in the book of Proverbs. So at 7 o'clock, there'll be a Zoom link. I will log in, and I will just will go through the book of Proverbs one chapter at a time. Now, it's not going to go for long, probably 30 minutes max. We'll just share one little bit from each chapter, because who knows that we all need a bit of wisdom. What I like about the book of Proverbs, it tells us how to do relationships well. It tells us about how to do our finances well. It also tells us about how to live our spiritual lives. And so I think if you want to get a bit of wisdom, the wisdom challenge, so those links will sort of like be shared in the next few weeks. I think that's about it with the announcements. Who enjoyed Pastor David last week? Pastor David Hooper. Sorry, I'm trying to not, I don't want to trip and make a spectacle of myself. Oh, no. We can't. Yeah, no. Thank you, but no, yes. So Pastor David spoke, and that is obviously his painting there. And so if you want to put a bid for that, the funds raised are going to go to our Youth Connect, for our youth group, so that they can do stuff. They can go places. So if you want to put a bid in, just send an email to info@c3f.com.au. So we're going to start, what do they call this in auctioning? There's a base price. What do they call that? Reserve. The reserve is $200. Maybe that's a bit too cheap. Huh? Pastor David will not be happy. You know, I can't do that. Yeah, so it's just, it's tripled. But you know that it's going for a good cause for the young people in our church. So maybe $600 actually is the better price. What I liked about Pastor David when he spoke last week, he talked about Simeon in the book of Luke, and how Simeon was told by the Holy Spirit that he would see the Messiah before he died. Now, I wonder how long this man had to wait for that promise to be fulfilled. And what then happened is that suddenly he was told by the Holy Spirit that go out into the foyer, wherever they were in the, let's just say, go out into the foyer, and he did that, and he was there able to see the promise that the Lord had given him through the Holy Spirit. He was able to see the Messiah. I wonder, in all that waiting time, did Simeon waver and wonder, is this ever going to happen in my life? One thing I like, you see, is that even though you wait for a very long time, when God comes, he comes suddenly. Now, suddenly, sometimes that suddenly is over 25 years, it's over 10 years, it could be over an hour, that's a good suddenly, or it could be over a minute. Suddenly, the Lord just, you ask him for something, it's done. I wonder, as Pastor David spoke, how have you endured the waiting in your life, where especially when you feel that God has given you a promise for something, yet you had to wait and wait and wait. You know, in today's culture, the word hope is often used to represent wishful thinking. And this hope is expecting something to happen, but not being entirely sure it will. It is more like a wish, for example, hoping it doesn't rain or hoping your favorite team wins the championship. Now, I am very hopeful today that France is going to win the World Cup. But I am not sure that it will. You know, anybody, I want France to win. That's just, I'm biased. So we'll pray for Pastor Charlie afterwards. He's going for Argentina. You see? So there is something, this wishful thinking, where we hope for something, but we're not certain that it's actually going to take place. But in the Old Testament, the word hope is, the verb translated hope is kawa, while the noun from the same name is tikwa. Both mean to trust and to wait expectantly. In Jeremiah 14, verse 22, in the prayer for healing, it reads, and this is Jeremiah saying, can any of the worthless foreign gods send us rain? Does it fall from the sky by itself? Therefore, our hope is in you, for you are the one who does all this. The prophet is not fearful. He isn't wondering if God is going to come through. Instead, Jeremiah confidently expects God to fulfill his promises to Israel. We saw that scripture where he says, for unto us a child has been given. That there was a certainty to that. There was a certainty, and so people hoped, they waited with expectation that there is a Messiah that is coming. And so it was a sure thing. And so God put Adam and Eve into the Garden of Eden. And we know that a garden is an enclosure, a protected place, and Eden means a pleasure or provision. And so what then happened is that when man sinned, he was no longer under God's authority. So what did he do? He moves us from the Garden of Eden, from that place of protection and provision. But what he did, you see, is that God put the wheels in motion when man sinned to restore him. One thing I like about this is that this whole Christmas story even though it has been commercialized and they've just taken everything out of it. It is about hope. And that hope is the hope in Jesus Christ. And I want us to understand that it says in Philippians 2, verse 6 to 8, talking about Jesus, it says, though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. When he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on a cross. The reason he did this was all for love. Was all because he loved us, because we had sinned, or Adam had sinned on behalf of us. He had sinned, and so now we are separate from God. And so the Lord says, you know what? You've put the wheels in motion. Send me, I will go and restore these people back into right relationship with you. And this is what the story of Christmas is about the hope that God has placed on Jesus Christ to come and restore us back into relationship with him. John chapter 3 verse 16 says, for this is how God loved the world. He gave his one and only son, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. God sent his son into the world, not to judge the world, but to save the world through him. His motivation for coming was because he loved you and I. He loved mankind. The man that he created. And the funny thing is that God did the most incredible thing when he created man. He gave them the power of choice. I would prefer to have created robot humans that just follow instructions. But you know what he did? He gave us the choice where we could actually refuse to be in fellowship with him. But in spite of that, he said, I will still go and connect them back to me. Even though they have sinned, he still and have fallen short and have done things that have gone against his purposes, he still said, I will go and be there for them. I will go and be human like them and give my lives for them. And what I like about Christ, he says when he spoke to the crowd after Zacchaeus said he was going to give back four times for those he had cheated. In Luke 19 verse 10, it says, salvation has come to this home today, for this man has shown himself to be a true son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and save those who are lost. Christ came to seek us who were lost and separate from God. He did that because he cared about you and I. And that is what the Christmas message is. What I do like about the commercialization of Christmas is that it's there to bring people together. So they make sure that they sell you, you know, they put the pictures of the turkey, whatever else, but it's all about causing people to gather together, to celebrate with one another. And I think that is the one thing that I like about Christmas, is that it's a time where families can reconnect with one another. Now, of course, what happens on Christmas Day, it might start off nice and friendly, but by the end of the day, it might get a bit rowdy. But the purpose is connection. It's not perfection, because no family is perfect. Every family might start off on Christmas Day nice and happy, and then by the end of the day, everybody's ready to rip each other apart. The word hope in the New Testament is from the Greek word elpis. And according to Strong's Concordance, elpis means expectation, trust, and confidence. It comes from the root word elpo, which means to anticipate and to welcome. And it first appears in the New Testament in Matthew 12, verse 21. And in his name, the Gentiles will hope. In the New Testament, hope is no longer a mere part of speech, but hope is invested in and focused on someone, and that is the person of Jesus Christ. So the hope that we have in our lives is no longer just, it is in the person of Jesus Christ. So just as they came to the manger, they came and they saw what hope looked like. It looked like Jesus, and it was Jesus. and hope is not defeated in our lives. We know that the enemy has always tried to thwart the plans of God. With Moses, when Pharaoh thought that somebody was going to rise up, he decided to kill all the kids under 2 years of age. And the same thing when Jesus was born. The enemy will always come against the plans of God for your life. But when we have our confidence in Jesus, our confidence in the person of Jesus Christ, we know that we have our confidence in him, and we will not give up, because there is an assurance that what God said over our lives is going to come to pass. So no matter what you're facing as an individual in your business, the challenges you're facing in your business, the headwinds that are coming in 2023, we can still remain strong and steadfast because our confidence is in Jesus. Yes. Hebrews 10 verse 23 to 25 says, "Let us hold tightly without wavering to the hope we affirm, for God can be trusted to keep his promise." So if the Lord, you know, it sort of like says in Isaiah, it says that the zeal of the Lord is going to bring this to pass when he's going to send the Son, to send Jesus to us. God can be trusted to keep his promise for you. So whether you're going through issues in your life, there is a hope. And that hope is a confident expectation that if God has spoken it over your life, it is going to come to pass. Amen? Amen. Say it like you believe it. Amen?
Amen?
Hope is not defeated. One of the things we can learn from these three wise men, when they came, they were guided by a star to find the Messiah that they heard about. The key thing, what they did is that they made a choice to follow the star. They were very intentional about following that star up until it got them to where it was supposed to lead them, where the Messiah was. Now, it's not some hocus pocus stuff where there must have been something, just there was a guide that was there for them, and they followed that star, which means they constantly had to be looking up. So maybe when it got dark, when it got light, they probably waited because, well, they couldn't see during the day. And then at nighttime when they saw that star, they continued to follow it. And so the search of the kings that were looking for the Lord represents the search of many people to see the one that they heard about. That is for you and I, as we search, as the king searched, you and I, there are people that are going to search for the Lord because they hear about what Christ is doing in our lives, and people are searching. These kings brought gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And what we can learn from them is that when we come to Christ, we give our most precious gift, which I think is our lives. But really, when we say we're giving our lives, we're giving of our time. That is the most precious gift. And time spent with God is never time wasted. You might think, oh my goodness, I've been 3 hours every day spending with the Lord. That's too much. But time with the Lord, time spent with the Lord is never wasted, because that is your most precious gift. It's not money. It's not money, but it is time. Because that is the one thing that for all of us, that's the one thing that is running out. Now, it's going to run out at different intervals. Yeah. Don't want to be the bearer of bad news, but you know that's the way it's going. That's just the reality. But guess what? The time that we have given to the Lord is never wasted. That is the most precious gift. And so what we're going to do is that they were led by the star. We're going to be guided by the word of God in our lives. The question is, like I said with these three kings, during the day, they possibly couldn't see the star, so they had to stop. Will you allow yourself to be guided by the word when you cannot see your way forward? Would you allow the word of God to become a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your path? That's a question each and every one of us has to ask ourselves. as I come to the end of 2022 and we move into 23 with all the things that God has in store for you, will you allow the Word of God to lead you? Because that's the only thing that can lead us. We will be led by the Word of God. There is power in hope. Hope is looking expectantly towards the future based on our faith in God in the present and His faithfulness in the past. So if God sent Jesus, Jesus came, and that is why we're celebrating Christmas. He came and then He died and then He rose up again. We have that assurance that if He was faithful to do what He said He would do, then whatever He has said over our lives, God is going to be faithful to do it as well. So as Christians, we need to have hope because it motivates us to move forward, because life is a never-ending flow of hardships and trials. When we have hope, we can navigate those turbulent waters without despair. We can have joy and peace despite our circumstances because we know we have a God that works all things for our good. And I like what Desmond Tutu said. He said, hope is being able to see that there is light despite all of the darkness. And despite all the darkness, God was faithful in sending His Son. And this is why these three kings, they traveled from afar, because He was worthy to go to and to see and to worship. Christ is important in our lives, and He is worthy of all the praise and all the honor that we can give Him. And as I finish up, I'll just get the band to come back up, or the team. I really do want to just hone in on that scripture, Isaiah 9, verse 6 to 7. For a child is born to us, a son is given to us. The government will rest on His shoulders, and He will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. His government and its peace will never end. He will rule with fairness and justice from the throne of His ancestor David for all eternity. The passionate commitment of the Lord of Heaven's armies will make this happen. Yeah. I just invite everybody to stand. The passionate commitment of the Lord of Heaven's armies will make this happen. Yes. So there is power in hope. And essentially, we can replace hope here. There is power in Jesus because He is the epitome of hope. He is hope itself. He is faithful and He is true. And just over this season, I don't want us to lose. Let's not lose sight of what Christmas is about. But it is about Jesus. And let us be full of hope for your family and your friends. And ultimately, yes, there's going to be a lot of merrymaking, drinking, and carrying on, and that's fine. That's great. People enjoy themselves. We love people to enjoy themselves. But let's not forget that what is at stake here. What is at stake is people who are yet to know the Lord. People in our community, people that God has placed in our lives that, for whatever reason, may be struggling with things. And you and I have been given that task and that mandate to be carriers of hope. Not carriers of doom and gloom and woe is this, but carriers of hope. You know, in Proverbs chapter 16, verse 33. It says, we may throw the dice, but the Lord determines how they fall. That you are not here by accident. That somehow God was intervening in your life, and then all of a sudden you found yourself where you found yourself. You are not running a business by accident. Of course, there are certain things that you have done, you know, to put yourself in that position. But it was God that was weaving for things to happen. He was there doing something. We're not here by accident. And the reality is that we have to ask ourselves is that there are so many other people that are yet to know about this hope. We have this assurance that in as much as it might be bad, that something might happen to us and fall down and die, that's very sad. But that hope is not lost, because we're going to be with the Lord. We may not want to be with the Lord right now, but we still have got that expectation. And we still have got that trust in who Jesus is, because he says, I go and prepare a place for you. If it were not so, I wouldn't tell you. So we know that there's a place for us that he's preparing. So we have got this hope. But God wants us to be carriers of hope for other people. And I just want us to be those people that we don't always think negatively about ourselves, or we don't always say that, oh, I don't have the shiny gift, or no. God has equipped you with everything that you need. And it's not about looking at what the other person has or doesn't have. But you have to tell yourself that God is the one that determines how the dice fall. Time and chance. It is the Lord that is manipulating things for your advantage. Let's pray. Father, I thank you, Lord God, this morning, that you say time and chance happen to them all. But Lord, I thank you, Father, that you have equipped each and every one of us, Lord God, to be carriers of hope. Lord, that you have put a great deposit in our lives as we accepted the Lord Jesus to be the Lord and Savior of our lives. We are not here by accident. Lord, that even no matter how young we are, or how old we may feel, that there is a plan and a purpose for our lives. And Lord, as we leave this place, Father, we would be those that will connect with your plan to say, I'm not here by just chance and event. I am here because the Lord has deliberately placed me on this earth. And that I'm going to make a commitment to be a carrier of hope. To be an authentic carrier of hope. Not to be those people, Lord, that say, my head is not aching, praise the Lord. But we say, my head is aching, but I know God can heal me. And so, Lord, I just thank you for my brothers and sisters. I just thank you, Lord God, that you have placed your gift of life in our lives. The gift of hope, the gift of Jesus, that Lord, we would carry, we would make a commitment to carry that hope, to share that hope with everybody that comes around us, whether it be in our business relationships, in relationships at school, with our friends, with our classmates, with our colleagues at work, with people at the shop, when the opportunity arises, Lord, that we would share hope, that we would share Jesus. So Father, bless your people this morning. For those that are traveling, Lord God, we pray that you would be with them as they travel to be together with their families, that you would bless them, Father, that it would be a wonderful time that is restful, but of great fellowship, Lord God, and memory making. I thank you in Jesus' mighty name. And everybody says, amen. And as we finish today, I just want us to go out on a song. Go tell it on the mountain, because that is the task we've been given, to go tell it on the mountain. Now, we're not necessarily going, but we're telling people about the Lord. I also want to pray before they start singing. I want to pray for a few people.